Hello again, this is KWCA President and Seaman High School Head Coach Patrick Kelly with another edition of the KWCA Podcast. One of the most important functions of the KWCA is recognizing excellence in our sport. From the Coach of the Year awards to those that contribute in other areas to help Kansas wrestling prosper and grow, we can be proud of their efforts. The marquee recognition each year goes to the Hall of Fame recipients. The names jump off the page: Zach Roberson, Joe Say, Jody Thompson, Melvin Douglas, Bunt Spear, just to name a few. The recipients and their families are invited to a banquet that concludes the fall clinic each year. The clinic is named after Fritz Knorr, former K-State wrestling coach and charter member of the Hall of Fame when it was formed in 1971. A plaque with a picture and a biography of each recipient is hung in Gross Memorial Coliseum on the campus of Fort Hays State University, where generations of wrestling and general sports fans can admire the heroes of Kansas wrestling. Kansas wrestling has enjoyed its share of success over the years at the national and even international level. Undoubtedly, one of the first names to come to mind when considering the most successful wrestlers from the Sunflower State is Melvin Douglas, who will be officially welcomed into the KWCA Hall of Fame at this year's banquet. Melvin was inducted in 2009, but was not able to attend the ceremony at that time. Douglas won three state titles at Highland Park High School and a junior national title before heading south to OU, where he was a two-time NCAA champion. Douglas went on to success at the international level in freestyle. He had six world championship appearances for the United States. He was a bronze medalist twice, won silver once, and was a world champion in 1993 when the United States won their first team championship ever in freestyle. Incidentally, he was also a member of the 1995 team that also won a world championship. The only other American teams to have ever won the world championships in wrestling were Greco in 2007 and this year's freestyle team. So Melvin is an elite company, being part of two team titles. He represented the United States at the 1996 and 2000 Olympic Games. He has been inducted into various Halls of Fame, including the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame and the National Wrestling Hall of Fame. Now that's a resume. I recently caught up with Melvin, who is now living in Arizona. Melvin, welcome to the program. It's an honor to have you on.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Tell us a story about how you got into wrestling, and definitely tell us how your performance at the Junior Nationals paved the way to the University of Oklahoma.
I got into wrestling actually because I had two older brothers. I come from a family of seven, four brothers, and I had two brothers who actually wrestled, started wrestling in junior high, and like a brother, I just followed them, started wrestling in the seventh grade, and went from there. Just found out it was a sport that I was quite good at and was quite easy for me to do, so just started from there.
So you won three state titles at Highland Park High School, and you were interested in going to OU, but weren't being heavily recruited. Tell us how you made your way to OU.
Like I said, I started wrestling in the seventh grade, went on up, and I won my three titles at the high school. And then what it was I didn't wrestle freestyle. I was just wrestling collegiate because I didn't know much about wrestling. It was just something that kept me busy, something that I was doing because I was winning. But then I found out that, you know, hey, wait a minute. You can actually get a scholarship, actually get this paid for. So then I started finding out about wrestling. And I found out about Junior Nationals. It just happens to be one of those big tournaments where all the high school wrestlers, best high school wrestlers in the nation, go to wrestle in to get seen. Well, I knew if I wanted to go to college, I knew that I needed to go up there and be seen. I just won my third title in at Highland Park, and kind of wanted to go to OU, and kind of mentioned the fact that I was interested in that, and Mitch, my coach, he kind of told me a little tale that I was interested in Oklahoma. There was, they told me that there was 100 kids better than me, and I asked where they were, and they were at Junior Nationals. So that's when I ended up going up there and wrestling in that tournament, and I beat those 100 kids. I beat them down. That's what I did. I ended up beating one of those kids that Oklahoma was really interested in recruiting, and I kind of handled them really easy. At that time, like I said, they said that 100 kids were better than me at OU. That kind of pumped me and really got me going. At that time, then Oklahoma, Stan Abel, the coach at that school, came up to me when I was sitting in the stands after I won the tournament and asked me where I was going to college. You know, and my remarks were, well, not OU. You know, and then and even worse, my mother, she wouldn't even talk to him, you know, because she was kind of insulted about the fact that they said there was 100-something kids better than me. You know, but then I come to find out years later, you know, that was something that my coach, Rich Nitsch, he told me that just to motivate me, you know, just to motivate me to bring the animal in me out. And it really worked. Oh, yeah. He ended up finally telling me this story when I was being inducted into the National Hall of Fame. That's when he told me that he told me that tale.
After all those years. How about that?
You know, it was, but you know what? It worked at that time. It's what I needed to hear, you know, to get me to do the things that I needed to do to get ready. Because I, at that time, you know, there wasn't all these little clubs that we have now where you can go and you get that private lessons and all these camps and stuff that they have now available for the kids. It wasn't that. That wasn't available for us. You know, we got lucky. We had a coach who was dedicated and would open up a room for us to go wrestle in, you know, and would spend all his time on us to go take us to these tournaments. That's the kind of stuff that we had, you know, and I had that in Richard Nitsch. You know, he was one of those coaches that saw us and gave us that chance. And he made it so that I had the opportunity.
Your success at Highland Park was impressive with 3 state titles. What you did at OU put you in elite category all time among Kansas wrestlers, and what you did on the international level really put you on the national treasure level, especially when you consider that you were part of both the 1993 and 95 USA teams that won world titles. The only other teams to equal that were the 2007 Greco team and this year's freestyle team. Take us through some of your fondest memories from your competitive days, starting with your time wrestling for the Scots of Highland Park, through your time at OU, and as a member of the USA National Freestyle Team.
Some of my most memorable times. Well, of course, winning my third title up here at Highland Park was one of my greatest moments, you know, because it was something that hadn't been done. So that was something great. Going to OU, you know, that was really a big thing for me. Going in there and wrestling with the big boys, getting down there and having teammates like Dave Schultz, Mark Schultz, Israel Thomas. I mean, having all these great wrestlers in my wrestling room, you know, and just learning how to become a better wrestler. I mean, because when I came from Highland Park, I thought I was best wrestler that they had. I thought I was the number one guy until I got to college. And Mr. Dave Schultz taught me that I wasn't. He showed me that I was just beginning. The thing with him was a thing that happened to Mr. Schultz and I was when I first moved down to Oklahoma, I found out who Mr. Dave Schultz was. I looked at him by just his appearance. Oh, just me looking at him and looking at me, I knew right then and there that I was going to start varsity as a freshman. Oh, I thought I was going to pound him just from looking at him. You know, and then me being high horse, being the number one high school kid coming out of high school, oh, yeah, until he invited me to wrestle. And, of course, I took the challenge. Went down there and started wrestling him. We wrestled for about an hour. And he did not let me score one point. He just handled me left to right, turned me any way he wanted to. And then afterwards, he got up and shook my hand and told me, "Welcome to college." That's when I knew, wow, you know, that I was in a great place. You know, because I went from the top and now I'm back at the bottom. Yeah, you know, that's one of the things that I learned at OU. You know, being in that room, you know, only the best survived.
Well, it sounds like you had a great attitude about it.
Well, you know, I had to, because in the room, Oklahoma, the way that room was set up was, I mean, you had to survive, because everybody that I wrestled, every weight was tough. I mean, I had a national champion or a runner-up or someone, a place winner, every weight. So it was, there were times that if I wanted to get a takedown in OU room, I had to wrestle another freshman, you know, just so I can get in there and get some takedowns. I mean, it was tough, but I stuck it out. And eventually I told myself, hey, they recruited me for a reason. They recruited me because I'm one of the best around. And, you know, and it's just one of those things that in the sport of wrestling, any sport, you just got to put in your mind, telling yourself that you're just not going to take it anymore. And then you're going to stand your ground. And there was just one day where I just knew it. I knew that I was good. I knew that I was as good as anybody in this room. And from that day on, I became a world champion. Anybody that wrestled me, they knew that they were going to wrestle. They knew they were in a match. You know, that's when I turned that corner and just started giving them out instead of taking butt whoopings. And being in that room, it developed my world class of wrestling, because I was also able to be not only teammates in college, but I was also teammates with a lot of these guys, because they went on the world level too, from Oklahoma. Like Dave Schultz, Mark Schultz, they were all on the same world levels. We were all on those same teams. And I just basically learned from them guys.
So two national titles at Oklahoma. And then did you just kind of seamlessly get into freestyle from there, or had you wrestled some as an undergrad as well on the way up, or did just the influence of the Schultz brothers kind of push you into the international style?
Well, it was when I was in college, I was really focused on trying to win that NCAA title. You know, and then freestyle wrestling, it was just one of those things that you did later on after you got done, in case you wanted to make an Olympic team or something like that. Because it really wasn't something that you thought about, because it really, at that time, really wasn't a funded thing. You know, it wasn't something that you could do. You could make money doing or make a living doing. They was just actually, when I graduated, they just actually started having, creating a salary for the number one wrestlers. They just started allowing amateur wrestling to go out and create sponsors, things like that. And what that did is that just allowed us wrestlers that were coming out of college, and it allowed us to now focus on the world, focus on becoming a world champion, focus on becoming an Olympic champion, because it's a different sport. Collegiate wrestling is what we do. The world does freestyle, and you have to make that adjustment, and it's adjustment. That's why in the world championships, other world champions come at a young age, where in the United States, our world champions come at a later age, because we have to make that shift from collegiate to freestyle. And once that was, we were able to make that, able to basically raise a family and wrestle, you know, that allowed me to go into my world-class wrestling, you know, basically.
Tell us a little bit about some of the names, some of the events, and some of the experiences that you had on the international level.
Oh, well, shoot. I mean, I wrestled international level. So I was a 7-time world champion, 2-time Olympic champion, Kudartsev from Russia. I mean, I wrestled world and Olympic champions from Iran. I actually, if I was able to be on the world team, I was able to see the world. I mean, I've done a lot of things. I took a second in the world. I took 2/3. I took a first. I've had a great experience. One of the best experiences I had was when I went over to Iran. Good golly. And wrestling that world championships. That was just a great, one of my great experiences of all. Let's see, like I say, Mark Schultz, Dave Schultz, Kevin Jackson, Kenny Monday. Those were great wrestlers that I was able to wrestle with. The Brands brothers, being that old one, Bruce Bumgarner, who's one of our most medalists, most rewarded guys who wrestled in the Olympics. I mean, I was on a lot of teams. I was around a long time. I wrestled at 3 different weight classes. I just was in a position to where nobody was beating me. So I figured as long as nobody was beating me, why not continue to wrestle? And it just happened to be to the age of when I was, 43. Yeah, 43 was the last time I wrestled. I think I was in the semifinals of the Olympic trials, like 2004. And I just didn't want to wrestle anymore. I told myself I had a good run. Just didn't want to do it anymore. I was mentally exhausted at that time. That's what it was. I told myself I had a good run. I didn't win that Olympic, which is that was the only thing that was really in my career that really kept me there, because I was wanted to medal in the Olympics. I wanted to medal in the Olympics. And that's what kept me going. But, I ran out of time. The mind is strong, but the body says no.
Now, do you have a chance to do the little ceremony and put your shoes on the mat?
Yeah. They gave me that opportunity to do that. I mean, because if I'd have wrestled more, what it was is I sat back and I started thinking about it. I beat this young man here. Okay, the next thing you know, I got to wrestle Cormier in the finals. Okay, I beat Cormier. Okay, now I wrestle Dan Cormier. I beat him. Now I got to train for the next 4 months to get ready to go to the Olympics. And I just didn't want to do that anymore. I left, like I say, not because somebody beat me out, and I was starting to fade. It was just that the desire wasn't there anymore. Yeah. That's what it was.
Right. Well, I got to ask you, so with the McLaren Report findings and the publicity with a recent Netflix documentary called Icarus, the attention on performance-enhancing drugs in Olympic sports has become a real topic. What are your thoughts on the topic of performance-enhancing drugs from your experiences on the international wrestling scene for so many years?
Well, I never done them, but I know I've competed against athletes who have. They unfortunately, they test. The United States is the one country that really, really, really is really strict on it. When you have other countries who actually try to hide it, actually try to give their athletes the drugs, and it's hard to compete against that, especially when you know that they're not going to get caught.
And was that evident to you guys, the United States team, was it evident that was going on? I mean, was it that much in the open, or was it kind of a backdoor kind of thing?
Well, it was evident. You could see and tell the guys who were doing it. But there's nothing they could do about it. I mean, because at that time, they weren't testing for those things. I mean, there's certain things that, like growth hormones, they weren't testing for those, or they had no way of testing for them. But I'm sure us athletes knew who was on them and who weren't. Because one time you see them one way, the next time you see them another way. How could you not tell? Yeah. But did they get caught? No. it's just one of those things that you have to deal with.
Interesting.
As an athlete. Interesting. Yeah, it's just one thing to deal with. As an athlete, coming from the United States, you have to train yourself like this. It's the United States against the world. It's not the United States against the athletes, it's the United States against the world. That includes the officials, It includes the whole system.
All right, let's switch gears a little bit here. How are you involved in wrestling now? Are you doing any coaching, or do you keep up on things at the international level? Just what is your involvement in the sport at this time?
Well, I don't keep up on the international level. I kind of got a little burnt out on that and stuff. But I teach on a private level. I have a little club that I do down here in Arizona, and I have about 10, 11, 12 guys that I work with. And I just work with these guys. I'm what they call a fixer, I guess, or they call me the professor. I fix your technique.
I like it.
But, I mean, I keep my hand in it. I do. I keep my finger. I work with from little kids all the way up to high school kids. I think I'm out of it, but then I always have somebody who pulls me back in and stuff. And then I just work with people who want to be worked with.
So you have been recognized by several halls of fame, and your name is forever etched as one of the best Americans to ever be put on the mat. What does it mean to be recognized by the Kansas Wrestling Coaches Association?
It means a lot. It means, you know, that all the stuff that I've worked for, all the things that I did, I'm finally being recognized. I'm being recognized for it because I've always recognized myself as a Kansas wrestler. I've always recognized myself as someone who came from Topeka, Kansas. You know, if I came, got glory, then Kansas got the glory with me. To be recognized by my hometown, my home state, it's a great honor. It's a great honor because I feel proud. I'm proud that I came from Kansas. You know, I sit back and I watch sometimes and I think to myself, who's one of the greatest athletes that came from Kansas? I wonder if they consider me one. Because I know I sit back and I drive through Kansas, Wichita, Kansas, and I see that sign saying, home of Barry Sanders. I think about that. Am I one of those athletes?
Well, I don't think Barry Sanders would even argue that you're definitely among the elite.
And that's what I think sometimes, is I know he's, in his sport, he's one of the elite. In my sport, I consider myself a Michael Jordan of my sport. I consider myself, you know, those top athletes in their sports. I was one of the top athletes in my sport. And to be recognized as that, it's a great honor.
All right. Well, great. We're honored to do it. So what is your message to a young wrestler from Kansas that may have aspirations and goals of reaching the heights of the sport like you did?
You have to learn how to wrestle freestyle. You have to learn how to wrestle on your feet. You know, and just keep wrestling. Keep doing it. That's what did it for me. I just kept going. If you told me I couldn't do it, you got to show me that I couldn't do it. And that was just my attitude.
Well, Melvin, it's been a real honor to visit with you. On behalf of the Kansas Wrestling Coaches Association, the board, and the member coaches, congratulations on this honor. We look forward to seeing you in Salina.
Well, thank you. I greatly appreciate that. Thank you.
This has been KWCA President Patrick Kelly reminding you to get your registration in to the 2017 KWCA Fritz Knorr Fall Clinic slated for October 7th in Salina. And don't forget about the Leadership Academy on Friday the 6th and the Wrestling Summit Saturday night after the banquet. Until next time, thanks for listening.